All right, let's jump into another deep dive. This time we're taking a look at The Evils We Keep, the one by Roland Blake. You guys recommended this one, and it's a psychological thriller right up my alley. But wow, this book really got to me.
It's definitely a book that sticks with you. I think what makes it so fascinating is the way Blake uses those two narratives, you know?
Yeah.
Sally's diary entries.
Right.
Super raw and emotional. And then you have Laura's story, but it's told from a third-person perspective. It's almost like you're seeing, like, two sides of this really messed up coin.
Yeah, it's like you're trying to put these puzzle pieces together, but they're all weird shapes, and, like, the edges are all jagged.
Yeah.
So let's start with Sally. Her diary entries, they give you this really disturbing look at her life. Like, she's trapped with this guy, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad relationship.
It's way more than just bad. It's scary, really scary. Blake doesn't hold back on, you know, showing just how dark things get. Jason, he's controlling. He's manipulative. And there's this violence that pops up that just made me sick to my stomach. Like there's this part where he pours boiling soup on her hand. And you find out that's not even the worst thing he does.
Oh, man. There's this one entry Sally talks about finding drawings that mm-hmm. Jason made, and they're pictures of her, but she's all, like, twisted and deformed. It's almost like he wants her to become some kind of monster, you know?
Yeah.
It's creepy, and it really makes you wonder what's going on inside his head.
It's like he's taking all his darkness and just shoving it onto her, you know? Like, he's trying to break her and then mold her into something he can control. And then as you read more of her diary, you realize Sally's got all this baggage from her past, her relationship with her father, then his death. There's so much trauma there, and Jason's just feeding off of it, basically.
So then there's Laura, and she's, you know, living this normal life, but then things start to get really strange. She's having these intense dreams, and then there are these weird encounters with strangers.
Yeah.
She just has this feeling that something's wrong, like someone's watching her.
Yeah, there's this, like, creeping dread that hangs over Laura's whole story.
Yeah.
It's subtle at first, just these little things that feel out of place, but then those unsettling events, they start to, like, escalate, and you start to wonder if maybe she's losing it a little bit, and you can't shake this feeling that something really bad's hiding right under the surface.
The thing is, Laura starts having these experiences that almost perfectly mirror things from Sally's diary. It's
yeah.
really bizarre. Like she gets this random Facebook friend request from someone named Sally. Then there's this thing with a little girl throwing rocks that's almost exactly like a childhood memory Sally writes about. It's mm-hmm. like Blake is dropping these little hints that their lives are somehow connected, but you don't know how yet.
And then right when you think you're starting to, you know, get a handle on the connection, Blake throws you a curveball. Laura's relationship with her boyfriend, Seb, it starts falling apart. He becomes really distant, withdrawn, almost like he's become a totally different person. And then there's this other woman, Monica, who's connected to Seb. And she shares an address with someone named Olivia, who we know was Sally's friend.
Wait, so this Olivia, is she the same one from Sally's diary? The one who...
Let's just say what happens to Olivia in Sally's story is one of those, you know, really disturbing mysteries that Blake reveals as the book goes on.
Okay. I'm definitely hooked now. There's so much going on here. Those hints about a connection between Sally and Laura.
Yeah.
I need to know how that plays out.
Well, get ready, because we've only scratched the surface here. Blake, he's really good at layering in these details, these strange things happening, all these little connections that make you question everything you think is real.
I cannot wait to get more into this. This is good.
So we were talking about all those creepy parallels between Sally and Laura and that whole mystery with Olivia. And as Laura's dealing with all these freaky things happening, she decides to go see this spiritual healer named Jita.
Oh, yeah, Jita. She's an interesting one, that's for sure. She tells Laura that she's, like, awakened and needs to confront these things called the Veils of Maya. I got to be honest, that part kind of threw me off. What are those veils even supposed to be? What does being awakened actually mean?
Yeah, Jita, she's definitely speaking in riddles, but I think it adds this whole other layer to the book. You know, it's exploring how we see the world and what's real. Those veils of Maya, I think they represent the stuff that, like, clouds our understanding of things. And being awakened means you see through that, like, you can finally see what's really going on. And in this book, that reality is pretty messed up and supernatural.
Okay, that makes sense. And things definitely get more supernatural as Laura's story goes on. She finds Seb's car just abandoned, which leads her to Monica. And it turns out that Monica knew Olivia, too, but she calls her by a different name, a name that was in Sally's diary, but not as a friend.
Right. It's like all these characters are connected to this mysterious person who had all these different names. Like, they're all caught in this web, you know. And as Laura keeps digging, she ends up going back to her childhood home, the one that burned down years ago.
Yes, where she finds Sally's honesty box, right? What's in it? Does it tell us anything about what happened to Sally or how she and Laura are connected?
What's inside that honesty box is important, that's for sure, but I don't want to spoil it. Let's just say it adds another piece to the puzzle. You get some clues about the trauma they both went through and the secrets they might share.
Kill me with the suspense here. But I get it. No spoilers. So what about this Barrett character? You said he brings some pretty crazy revelations.
Barrett's like a ghost from the past. He comes out of nowhere to explain all the supernatural stuff that's happening in both Sally and Laura's stories. And what he says about Laura's true identity and this thing called Jaka, well, it'll blow your mind.
Hold on. Is he saying that Laura and Sally are actually the same person? I mean, I kind of thought that was where this was going, but.
Barrett's revelations, they're complicated. They definitely bring up more questions than answers. He does say that Sally and Laura are connected, like way more than just coincidence. Their identities are kind of merging, which is, well, it's scary and really sad. But he also suggests that this Jaka thing is behind it all, like it's controlling everything from the shadows.
It's getting really Twilight Zoney now, but I'm into it.
I know, right? And then Barrett tells us something really important about Laura's friend Emily. Turns out Emily's got this gift, like a connection to the supernatural. And that might have accidentally had something to do with what happened to Sally. It just adds another layer to the story. Like, even the things we do with good intentions can have these terrible consequences when you mix in these hidden forces.
Oh, okay. My mind is officially blown. So many questions now. What's this Jaka thing even want? How are Sally and Laura really connected? And what's Emily's gift got to do with any of this?
That's what's so great about the evils we keep. Blake doesn't just give you all the answers. He gives you just enough to figure things out. But he also leaves you with all these questions, these possibilities that you can't stop thinking about even after you finish the book.
It sounds like the perfect book for a deep dive, for sure. I'm really glad you recommended it.
Me too. It's one of those books that, like, starts a million conversations. I can't wait to hear what you thought about it, you know, as we go through some of the main themes and symbols in this really creepy story.
Let's do it. What about that color red? It keeps popping up. I feel like it's more than just a random detail, especially with all the it feels like that red is everywhere, right? And it's always connected to violence or those really disturbing events, the supernatural stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Red is like a big symbol in this book, a thread that connects everything Sally and Laura are going through.
Right.
Think about Sally's self-harm, the blood, the way Jason's rage is described. It's all red.
But then you have that red velvet cloth Laura sees in her vision, even the dreams about drowning, the waters turning red. It's like this symbol for pain and danger, like it's haunting both of them.
It definitely makes the book even creepier. And speaking of creepy, did you notice like how often they see raw meat? Sally and Laura both have these visions, and it's always connected to this idea of turning into a monster, losing yourself.
Ugh. Yeah, those parts were rough. Like it represents that fear we all have, you know, the fear of losing control, of becoming something inhuman.
Exactly. And it goes back to those drawings Jason makes of Sally, you know, the ones where she's all distorted and monstrous. It's like he's trying to make that happen to turn her into something that reflects all the darkness inside of him.
And there's that room in Jason's house, the one Sally describes in her diary. It's just dark and creepy, like a place you're not supposed to go. You never really find out what's up with that room, but it just makes Jason even more mysterious. Like, how does he fit in with this Chaka thing?
Yeah, for sure. And remember how Jason's always washing his hands, like he's trying to get something off of them? It's a small detail, but it like adds to this feeling that he's both a victim of whatever this evil is and also part of spreading it.
So, okay, we've covered a lot. Two different stories, the creepy parallels, the symbolism, all the supernatural stuff. But what does it all mean? What should our listeners take away from this, especially if they, you know, want to go read The Evils We Keep now?
I think this book, it makes you think about the things we don't like to admit about ourselves, you know, the darkness that everyone has inside. Even if their life looks normal on the outside, it's a story that you can't forget it. And it makes you wonder if maybe there are things we can't understand that are controlling our lives.
It's also a reminder that we all have secrets, that we all have some darkness in us. And sometimes the scariest thing is actually facing those secrets, acknowledging that darkness.
Totally. It's about facing our demons, the ones inside us and the ones out in the world. And you're left with this feeling that maybe, just maybe, there are things out there we just can't grasp, forces that are shaping our lives, and we don't even know it.
So to everyone listening, if you want a book that'll keep you up at night, one that makes you question everything and think about the mysteries of, you know, the human mind and all the creepy stuff that might be lurking out there, then you got to read The Evils We Keep. But fair warning, once you start reading, there's no going back.
You might start looking over your shoulder, being afraid of the dark, and wondering what evils you might be hiding yourself.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up our deep dive into The Evils We Keep. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Let us know what you think, what your theories are once you've read this crazy story. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and maybe sleep with the lights on.